Let me lead you in prayer. O Father, we are gathered before you, the maker of heaven and earth, whose chosen dwelling place is with the broken and contrite, to confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with all our heart and soul. We have not loved you with all our mind and strength. We have not even loved our neighbor as ourselves. Father, this morning, in your mercy, deepen our sorrow for the wrong we have done and for the good we have left undone, so that we may hate our sin with a holy hatred. But please, Father, do not leave us in sorrow. With you, O Lord, there is forgiveness. You forgive iniquity. In your mercy, restore the joy of our salvation according to your loving kindness, so that we may love you with a holy love. Father, speak to each of us, and let your word abide with us until it has produced in us your holy will. Amen. Brothers and sisters, those who have examined themselves, confessed their sins, and look to Jesus Christ for salvation, hear the wonderful assurance. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and in doing so we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith. We do not serve God with such zeal as He requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yes, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. This morning, we'll also turn to God's word as we hear it written, proclaimed. As we've been going through this series on love, we continue on in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13. Been doing this in tying it in with Lord's Supper, the last number of celebrations. And this morning we get to the part where love is kind, as you may see as a theme this morning. Let's put it in its context, where Paul says he will show us the most excellent way. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in parts, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, love is kind. I doubt that anyone will disagree with that this morning, but still a challenge, isn't it? Maybe first of all a challenge. What is kindness exactly? We may recognize it when we experience it. We may know what it isn't, but what is it? More than being nice, maybe related to doing good. What is it? And yet you may know people that you say, yes, that is a kind person. What makes them so? But it's not just a challenge of definition, is it? Love is kind. How often in the past week have you been kind? How often has your love shown kindness? Seems to be a bit of progression here. If you were here 2 months ago and we went through, as we celebrated Lord's Supper, we talked about how love is patient. Love suffers long, as we said. And we say, maybe, you know, in the past week, if I asked you, were you patient? You said, yes, I was patient. I didn't lose my temper. I bore up, I suffered long a wrong that someone did against me. The kids were not listening, but I kept my cool. I was patient. I did not get real. I did not get angry. But were you kind? That is something different, isn't it? There are times in life when we say, yes, I can be patient, I cannot lose my cool, I will not get angry, but can I then move towards that person and do something good for them, say something good to them, be kind to them? That may be a bit too much. Kindness is a struggle. So how can we be kind? Well, this question. What is kindness? How may we be kind? That draws us to our Heavenly Father. Because your Father shows you kindness. And He has made it abundantly clear that we must know that He is exactly this, loving, and in His love, He is kind. That we may know Him, worship Him, and turn to Him. So let's think about that this morning. Starting there, our God is kind. And He shows us a kindness in its fullest extent and glory, isn't it? Because how would you define our Heavenly Father, if not that He is generous, that He is caring? To use an older word, that He is benevolent. He wills good for His children. And we see that throughout Scripture revealed, that God is good and showing kindness. It's closely related to that, showing and doing good. Whether we look at creation, we say, look, God created things good and in a beautiful, rich way. So when we look at providence today, we're saying every living being looks to the fatherly hand of God to supply them with what they need. And to do so according to His goodness, his kindness. Look how he deals with us. God is patient with you. He suffers long for your sake. But not only that, he turns to you, not just with bearing up under your sin and foolishness, but blessing you, restoring you. He is kind. And particularly our Lord Jesus Christ points that out to us when he gives us the radical command to love our enemies. Jesus says to do it for the following reason: for the Father's kindness. He says, but love your enemies, in Luke 6. Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind. He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Along the same lines, Paul, when he preaches to the people at Lystra and Derbe, reminds them. These are Greeks. They may not know God at all from the Old Testament. But he says, look, you know of him. He has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. Acts chapter 14. He has shown kindness. He has done good to you by giving you rain from heaven. Rain shows no distinction, does it? It falls on believers and unbelievers, on the grateful and the ungrateful. And both Jesus and Paul say, look, that's God's kindness. God's kindness that is done to all people. Can you count the ways that God has been kind to you in the past week? Do you look around you and look at this world where things are orderly, where harvests can take place because it has rained, there are seasons, there's been sunlight, and crops have grown, and now they may be brought in, and saying, yes, this world runs orderly, is blessed, and flourishes, and is bountiful, and all that reminds me of the kindness of my Father. The fact that I may wake up this morning and the sky isn't falling and it's not the end of the world or all chaotic, that is a kindness from my Father. That I may have hope for tomorrow, that I may plan my week, having an idea that there may be safety, order, and the ability to do my task. Do you see how incredible this is? We may agree that love is patient. God is patient. He is long-suffering, to put it in different words. But we all know that is one thing to be patient and to suffer long, and another thing completely to do that while also showing kindness. And yet that is what God does. Not only does he not judge a world immediately for their sin, not only does he judge us immediately for our evil and iniquity, he bears under it and still blesses us. As he allows the sun to rise, for crops to grow, for harvest to be brought in year after year, and for us to have joy in it and to enjoy it. And not just us, but even the wicked. That's not mere patience. That's incredible kindness. Now, why does God do this? Why is he so kind? Of course, that comes from his heart. That is who he is. But we also know from Scripture what this kindness is meant to do to us who believe in the Lord. Paul points out God's kindness so that we may recognize it. And more than that, to recognize it and give him praise for it, he writes to the Romans. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. God's kindness, as we see it in the world around us, is meant to lead us back to Him in repentance. God's kindness is intended for you to then go to God in repentance. Think about that this morning. So you may be thinking that generally it is when you have that feeling that God is judging you, when He is right there, that you know you are condemned, that is when you repent. But Paul says, haven't you seen His kindness? Haven't you seen His kindness in your life? Do you see how patient He is with you? How kind He is to you? Won't you turn to Him in repentance? And look at your own heart. Look at your own life. When do you feel most compelled to confess and repent? There's always barriers in our hearts. We don't want to do that, but we may be compelled, brought by the Spirit. And what may the Spirit do in your heart? Well, are you going to repent to those whom you know are unkind? To those who are going to judge you, who are going to turn to you and say, yeah, I knew you would do something like that. You are always doing things like this. They may forgive you, but you would not be inclined to repent. But if it's someone who has shown you kindness and patience, who you know will do good to you when you are vulnerable, when you are open, when you confess. When you know that this is what honesty and truth is what this person deserves because they have shown you kindness. If that may lead you to repentance. How would you experience this morning? How would you experience with the Lord? That it is His kindness that leads you to repentance. That as you've examined yourself this morning, you said it is God's kindness, knowing that I can turn to Him and He will forgive and that He will lift me up and that He will feed me at His table. That is what brings me to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I am grieved for my sin. Turn to me in kindness this morning. And if this were not enough for us to grasp that God is kind, this is what He has revealed in Jesus Christ. Titus 3 verse 4 says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. And just like that, it's the Jesus appearing on the scene is the love and kindness of God appearing to us in the flesh. And it's there in the Gospels, isn't it? Read the Gospels again and again, and you will see the kindness of Jesus Christ coming out, the kindness of God being revealed. Now, here are disciples. They have no time for mothers and their children. But what does the kindness of God do? He makes time. Say, let them come to me, that I may bless them. When the sick and suffering cry out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everyone else says, oh, just be quiet. He has no time for you. What does Jesus do? But He turns off the road to heal, to listen, to restore them. Or even as the disciples, like Peter, they speak too quickly, too boldly. And even they are corrected, they're reinstated, they're entrusted. What is that not if the kindness of our God revealed in Jesus Christ? Yes, the very one who writes this chapter in 1 Corinthians, hadn't he experienced that appearing of the kindness of God? For there he was on the road of Damascus, struck blind in the city of Damascus, praying and praying and praying, wondering why and how may a God who has finally appeared to him, show him mercy. Well, was shown kindness, wasn't he? So the Lord sent Ananias to that room, to Paul, to touch him, that his eyes may be healed, that his sight may be restored, that he may be set apart for service, a kindness, and a touch in a prayer, and a mission for someone without hope on his own. Love is kind. Love, to put it actively, shows kindness. Because this is what Jesus has shown each one of us. He's shown it to each one of us. And this morning in particular, we may reflect on that as you get to participate in the Lord's Supper, as you may witness the Lord's Supper and what it means. It is the love and kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ to us. It's so clear He is kind to us. And this is what brings us to repentance. And then also brings us to the table of the Lord. Knowing that His kindness, He has given us a place here. And it's this kindness of Jesus Christ that takes root in our hearts as His people, that then we may love and show kindness. And Paul, again, writes it powerfully and beautifully this time in Ephesians. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The love of Christ is shown in kind words, in kind offers, kind actions. In all those ways, we help one another without repayment, without concern of our own good, just simply being kind. Not only being patient, but doing good to all alike. Like our Heavenly Father sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And perhaps there's no better example of the power of kindness in the church than in one famous conversion story. St. Augustine was an incredibly smart man looking for truth. He had gone all through his life looking for what is real, what is truth, what is the right philosophy or religion. He was also a man who taught people to speak. He was a rhetorician. He went to Milan, and he wanted to go to church. Not because he was interested in the church. He had read the Bible. Did not appeal to him. It's religion, no. But the preacher there, Ambrose, powerful preacher, well known for his rhetoric, lots to learn from him. So he goes to church. Now, how would we write the rest of the story? We would say, that's when the Lord, through a powerful sermon, struck Augustine in the hearts. He had to confess his sin and wickedness and be brought to Jesus Christ. Now the Lord did convert over a period St. Augustine through Ambrose, but not through a powerful sermon. He did not immediately come to see his need for Christ and his sin. This is simply what Augustine says many years later. He went to church in Milan. He listened to Ambrose. And he says, I began to like him. At first, indeed, not as a teacher of the truth, for I had absolutely no confidence in your church, but as a human being who was kind to me. He says that though he did not know it, it was through kindness that he was gradually drawn closer to the Lord. See, it is true. It was the kindness of God that led him to repentance. But that kindness was first shown to him in the face of one of his children, one of God's children. Brothers and sisters, show kindness as your Savior has shown you kindness. For love is kind. Amen. We don't do this in